This is a context of a lot of things we've been talking about lately. And this goes in the way of solidifying what it is we have through faith. And the focus is, you'll see here, on the resurrection of the dead and what Christ does, not so much what we have done, what Christ has done and is doing in us. And the work, how it's aimed toward eternity. Now, he starts off in verse 13 in chapter 1, telling the Ephesians. You know, first he had told them about how they have these spiritual blessings in Christ in the heavenly realms. And remember that. They've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then he talks about God's plan. How mankind was chosen to be made holy and blameless through Christ, not through Adam. And the seal of this is the Holy Spirit, and this is where we start here. He tells the Ephesians in verse 13 that you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. In other words, we as individuals were not, counted from the foundation of the world in Christ. Mankind was counted in Christ in general from the foundation of the world, because it was always God's plan to redeem them through Christ, not Adam. And so when are you included into this predestination? You were included also in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. You were marked in Christ with a seal. Now really think about what that's telling you. You were marked. God marked you. Understand the meaning of what this seal is. God marked you with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Now look at the focus there. The seal that you're marked with, the precious Holy Spirit, is a deposit guaranteeing an inheritance. And that inheritance is the resurrection of the dead. It is eternal life, isn't it? Which you receive at Jesus' coming. But you were marked in him with a seal, having believed. That's when you're included in this predestination, when you believe. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance, until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. That redemption, again, is the resurrection of the dead. So right now you have a deposit. You're marked in him with a seal, the precious Holy Spirit, a deposit, a portion, until the redemption of what is God's possession. And here we're speaking of the resurrection of the dead. For this reason, Paul tells the Ephesians, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. Now, remember what we talked about yesterday. We were talking about you personalizing the resurrection of the dead and Jesus' coming for you. Right? For you. Instead of just looking at this as an idea or a general goal of Christianity, this has got to be very much personalized for you. Right? The purpose of you talking to God concerning the resurrection and Jesus' coming, a subject that's very near and dear to his heart, what he wants to talk about, which is all about the redemption of God's possession to the praise of his glory, is about personalizing that truth for you so it becomes the reality of your life and not just an idea in general for Christianity. Because don't we tend to look at the overall body of Christ as being somebody else? And let me tell you, that's just by nature. You may tell yourself in certain ways that you're a part of the body of Christ, but when you think of the body of Christ as a whole, don't you think of it in terms of them and they? How many of you have been there? Seriously. How many of you think in terms of the body of Christ as being them and they? as being something that's disconnected from you. Even though you, when you really think about it, you know you're a part of the body of Christ. But when you read it in the Bible, you tend to think of it as them. Like when you read this, you tend to think of it, he's just talking to the Ephesians. And he's not, he's talking to you. And he says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. You see how Paul personalizes it for the Ephesians? Can you see that? The point of him doing this is to hit home to their hearts that they, you, were included in Christ when you believed. And you were marked with the precious seal of the Holy Spirit until the redemption of what is God's possession. You. You're God's possession. And he goes on to say, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the Lord of our God, Jesus Christ, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Now, what is the terms or the criteria that he prays for the Ephesians and therefore for you to have that spirit of wisdom and revelation for you so that you may know him better? What's the criteria? That you have received that Holy Spirit, huh? That you have received it through faith. That you have been marked by God when you believed. See, all of these things have got to be personalized. You know, we need to see it in general that it's true for the whole body of Christ. And the Bible really emphasizes that. But what you cannot de-emphasize is your place and your role. It's got to be personal to you. For you to have a real relationship with God. And this comes back to the understanding of what it means that you've got to discuss with God the impact of Jesus' second coming for you. You've got to discuss with God the promise of the resurrection for you so that you can have a clarity. And that's exactly what Paul says. I pray I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. One of the ways you have to come to know Christ is that he is the resurrection and the life. Not just for other people, not just in general, for you. Can you see that all of this is about that clarity hitting home to you? It's about you finding your place in this body. It's about the hearing of faith when you believed. It's about the deposit of Christ that's in you. It's about being prayed, you know, God's will for you to know him better. Can you see that? And that's the way you've got to start to see it. It's not something disconnected from you, like history, like you're learning a lesson. When you learn the Bible, you know, it's not just for other people, it's for you. It's not just general knowledge, it's for you personally. And it's very personal. That clarity, in order for you to be able, and this is the root of it all. In order for you to be an effective witness for Christ, you must testify out of your experience with him what he has done for you. The blind man was willing to believe the whole thing because what Jesus had did for him. You understand? Now, it's one thing to physically understand that. It's another thing to really have that in your heart. To know that God loves you. To know that Jesus died for you. To know that through your faith, you're coming to know him. To know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. to know that the purpose is to bring you to the resurrection of the dead, that it's God's wish for you to have wisdom and revelation that you may know Him better. You see how this is the next natural step of what we were talking about last night. It's your relationship with Jesus. Yours. And this is how you become a productive and effective witness for Him. Is when the Word is quickened in you, then you have something to testify about from the heart. Then it's not just a story you're repeating to somebody else. It's not just a list of doctrines then that you're trying to share with somebody else. It's not just a truth that you agree with that you want other people to agree with too. It's not just a mental exercise. It's an appreciation and a love of Christ that dwells in you through the Spirit, and an appreciation that is responded to that Spirit. It's your heart to God's heart. It's where the Word is quickened, your heart to God's heart, so that you become a productive witness to the resurrection as that power is working in you. And as we go on in this, this is going to become clearer. See, it's a lot easier, and you're going to find this out. It's going to be a lot easier to have faith for other people in a reality as if that is a reality in you. If you can see what's going on in you is a miracle in itself and appreciate it for what it is, and really truly see the change of what God is doing in you, and you have that reality of God in you, then this is something you're going to want to share with others, isn't it? And what's more, you're going to have greater faith for others because you're sure of what God did in you. And you'll know for a fact He wants to do it in them. It's important for it to become very personal to you, so that you can be a productive witness to others. The resurrection's got to be reality in that way. So Paul says, going back to this, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance." You see that? Now, isn't that proof of what God wants to talk about? The purpose of that revelation and wisdom to you, that you may know Him better, is seen in the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance. That's what the Father wants to talk about to His children, their inheritance. That's what God wants to talk about to you, what you have through Jesus Christ, the hope of the resurrection. That's what the Holy Spirit is there to do, is to bring you to that hope and solidify that hope. You see how this involves coming to know Jesus as the resurrection. You knowing Him. Not just a general idea of the church knowing Him. You. That spirit of revelation and wisdom at work in you is a testimony. See, it's all about you being able to testify to Christ from the heart. It's all about the Holy Spirit quickening the truth in you. So that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. How did we start out this whole thing? I told you to remember it, right? Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, that you may know him better. The same mighty working of his strength that raised Jesus from the dead is as what is at work in you through the Holy Spirit. You. Now, where does your faith right now line up with that? If it don't, it shows you that you have some talking to do with God, doesn't it? That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That's where you're seated through faith. Above all dominion, power, and authority. And every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Remember, you're called to a resurrection where you will rule and reign with Christ. And that's where you sit now through faith. And if the demons and the authorities and the powers are in submission to Christ, who is at the right hand of God, and you have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, then this is the authority you have been blessed with. And until you connect with the fact that it is you being upheld through the resurrection power of Christ, then it will not click to you the authority that you must exert in Jesus' name. Because remember, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is given not just for you. Far above all rule, authority, and power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, I'm not going to expect you to understand all that in a moment. But I'll tell you what I do expect from the power of the Spirit at work in what we're talking about through the Scriptures. I do expect an awe. An awe of God that you didn't have before. To realize what he has chosen you for. The incomparable riches of his grace expressed to you through Jesus Christ. Not some other person, you. Not just the church in general, you. Not just the Ephesians, you. And until you find some comfort in sitting in that place God has placed you to sit, you're not going to get it. Welcome, Kathy. But as for you, and listen to this closely, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work at those who are disobedient. You know, you used to be under circumstances, but you're not anymore. And that reality that you're not anymore will not come until you find a comfort sitting in the seat God has made for you to sit in. That's why these things have to be personalized, so that the power is at work in you, not in just some general ethereal way, but very specific. So as for you, you were dead in the transgressions and your sins, which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the rulers of the kingdoms of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ Jesus, even when we were dead in transgressions. And that's the point. That's where you're now. You have been made alive in Christ Jesus, simply because Jesus has been resurrected and sits at the right hand of the Father. So you have been made alive in him, even though you appeared to be dead in your sins and transgressions. Even while you are dead in your sins and transgressions. It's God calling things that are not as though they were in you. That's God's promise, isn't it? It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. If Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, so do you, through faith. Now that's coming to know who you are in Christ, not who you are as a sinner. That's coming to know who you are that God wants you to be through the resurrection of the dead. And that same mighty power that raised Jesus and will raise your body is at work in you now to bring you this identity. To bring you this identity through faith. To bring you this placement of sitting in the heavenly realms with Christ and blessed with every spiritual blessing. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that's how all of this truth will be manifested. Because if this is true in your heart, it will be true in what you do. And if the miracle occurred in your heart, the miracle will occur also in what you do. And it won't be you producing, it'll be Christ in you. Do you understand that? But all of this depends on what? These facts of faith becoming true, not just in a general way, but true in you. That you acknowledge the power of God in you. That you acknowledge the Holy Spirit in you. That you acknowledge the same mighty exertion of God's power at work in you that lifted Christ from the dead, and so can, will, and is willing to lift you up from the dead. And can now through faith. You see how it's got to be personalized, the hope of the resurrection, the truth of Jesus' second coming. It's got to mean something specifically to you now. You have to be able to appropriate that power of what is coming now to live a Christian life. That's what faith is about. And he has given you the portion of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. You see what we're saying here? I know it. It may be different than the way you heard it before. But we've got to get out of this mindset of looking at things carnally, as if we are under the circumstances. If you're in Christ, you're seated in the heavenly realms with him through faith. If you're in Christ, God has empowered you, to walk this kind of a life. He's given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You. Not just other people. You. So that you can be a productive and effective witness of the resurrection. You. The body is dependent upon its members that get a hold of this truth, members that are submitted and self-enslaved to this truth, members of this body to whom this is a reality and not just a generality, not just a story, not just something that they look out on the outside looking in, but something they're inside of and very much a part of. The reality of the resurrection, the reality of Jesus' coming, must be alive in you in this way, through the Holy Spirit that dwells in you through faith. That same mighty working of His power is at work in you now to live this life. And there is no such thing as saying, no, you can't have the Spirit of revelation and wisdom. It just told you right here, it's yours, because it's Christ's. And what He has above all dominion and power at the right hand of the Father is what your inheritance is. And you appropriate the power and the benefit of that inheritance now through faith. Not to please yourself, but to please God, as Jesus does always. Not of yourself, it's His power. But our confession is that it is at work in us, huh? And if it's at work in us, we need to start short-circuiting all the things that limit it. And that includes the way we perceive things. It's accepting what God says as true. And not looking at it through your own carnal perceptions. It's another form of submission. And you can see now how through humbling yourself to the truth, it is power beyond belief. Exactly what it is. By humbling yourself to God's perceptions, it is power beyond your wildest dreams. And it's at work not just in other people. It's at work in you if you truly have the Spirit of Christ in you. It's the only way you can personally be a witness. You can't be a witness to Christ if there's nothing in your life to witness to, huh? It all comes full circle back to this. So you see the importance of having the resurrection of the dead through the Spirit that brings us that resurrection, a reality in you now. You understand now why Jesus presented Himself as not just for the future, now. I'm not just the resurrection and the life in the future. I am now. Through faith. And that's what will bring about what is actually so. Amen?